This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio, where we talk about things that are happening in Western New York within the church community, within the Christ Together network. And it's been we're approaching a year quickly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hasn't quite been a year, Ryan, but it's been good.
Yeah, lots of material and lots of good stuff.
It is. I'm Brett Larson, and sitting alongside me every week, and I sit alongside him. We're co-hosts together.
That's right.
Equal.
Yes.
But yet... What
different.
Is that?
Equal
but
yet different.
Very different. Anyway, we're hosting Christ Together every week just to talk about what God is doing in Western New York. You know, we really, about a year or so ago, felt like it was important to let you know out there who's listening. You might be driving home from church. You might be just out doing errands on the weekend. Just to give you an idea of what God is doing in Western New York, because we really do feel like he's doing a new thing. God's word says he's always doing a new thing. And in our city and in our region, we really feel like it's special what's happening. And it's not magical. It's not anything, you know, mysterious. It's just that, as people of God seek him and join together in unity for the sake of the gospel, God begins to work. He gives him space to work. And as we join him on his mission, there's some cool stuff happening. And Ryan is instrumental in this, as he's kind of on the front lines out there meeting with people every day who are doing great things in little pockets of our community. And each one of them important, whether big or small ministries, they're all important, and they're each reaching people, individuals.
Yeah.
And Ryan, even this past week or two, I know a few weeks back we had the church planting initiative.
Yeah.
and I just was reminded that big or small, a life is a life, a soul is a soul.
Yeah.
And some of these ministries are just small little ministries starting up, but you know, mm-hmm. for each life they reach, that's a yeah. life for eternity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's fun about when you really take a deep look at what God is doing in the Church of Western New York, yes, that he's doing things through churches, absolutely, but he's also doing things through the mobilization of everyday people that attend churches.
Yeah.
And so while, you know, the CPI event a couple of weeks ago, that was fantastic, having Jordan and Charlie in from Harlem and Baltimore, the reality is, you know, that night was really special. It's never happened before. But, you know, by mm-hmm. God's grace, we've raised almost $200,000 for church planting this year. And so
wow.
that's just one bucket
right.
that we think is really important to the saturation of the gospel in the region.
Yeah.
But there's other things that are important. And
yeah.
I think one thing today that we'll be talking about is creating awareness in the suburban realm mm-hmm. for great urban work. And I think that's going to be exciting today to talk about.
It's been a little bit of a theme of several of our episodes we've done, and I'm looking forward to it kind of culminating today in a way that we can maybe put some teeth to it.
Yeah.
And just talk about what God is doing in our area. Well, we're talking today about the Resource Council
mm-hmm.
of Western New York. And in studio, we have Terry King, who's the chairman of the Resource Council, also CEO of Saving Grace Ministries, who I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with, Saving Grace. And we have Jerrica Delaney from the Resource Council, former Michigan alum.
That's right. Never a former Michigan
alum. Oh, sorry.
Always.
Sorry. It's like they're like Marines. It's like, and also Justin King. With the Resource Council. Looking forward to hearing from you all today as we continue on with Christ Together Radio. As always, if you want to catch up on what previous programs or episodes have been and what God is doing in many different areas, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, scroll down to Christ Together Radio, and then you can get all of our old episodes. You can see Ryan's awesome picture with the orange jumpsuit.
Prison number.
Yes, with his jumpsuit. And... And just get to know a little bit more about Ryan, maybe myself, and what Christ Together, the Christ Together Network is all about, both nationally and then locally here in Buffalo. We're going to be back in just a minute, and we'll get started right away with talking with our friends from the Resource Council. This is Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. In studio today, we have the Resource Council of Western New York. Well, we don't have the whole Resource Council, but we have people representing.
We couldn't fit them all.
Almost the whole. And we have people representing the Resource Council of Western New York. And you might be saying, sitting in your car, what is this about? What is this? Well, we're going to tell you what it is. So just sit by. And Ryan, maybe you can tell me how you got involved with knowing about the Resource Council. And then I know Terry King, who is here, who's the chairman of it, and he's going to explain
I mean, for me personally, the Lord began to do a work in my heart probably about 6 years ago. I'm originally from East Cleveland, Ohio, kind of more the urban part of the city of Cleveland, Slavic Village area. And when I came to Buffalo, came back to Buffalo, I've kind of lived half my life in Ohio, half my life in New York. I came back for graduate school at UB. And but God began to work in my heart just about having a concern for the city of Buffalo and seeing some transformation happening in the city, but definitely not seeing it happen equally and in all parts of the city. And as I began to just kind of, I drove through the east side for probably a period of 2 to 3 years. As many days as I could, I would drive through and pray over the east side of Buffalo. And I just became very familiar with the city as a whole. But as God began to awaken my heart to that, he also began to introduce people to me that felt like poor, marginalized, and forgotten people in many respects were the center of their concern. And I had a chance through a meeting or two, I met a guy named Terry King. And people had talked with me about just how passionate he was for the city. And I thought, well, man, if he loves Jesus and he's passionate for the city, it probably makes a lot of sense for me to try to get to know him a little bit better. And so, you know, God opened up some opportunities for me to just share some time with him. And God began to surround me with practitioners of the gospel in the urban realm. And honestly, the schooling that I've gotten over the last few years, what I didn't know that I didn't know, I thank the Lord for the times that he allowed me to just keep my mouth shut and watch a lot of people who knew way more than me. And I would say that Terry is one of those people. And so that's how I became familiar with Saving Grace Ministries and his story. And then through a series of events, the Lord's really used Terry and some relationships that he has in the city to make a very significant difference, not just through Saving Grace, but through other initiatives like Patriot Heights and now through the Resource Council. And so that's kind of how I've gotten connected with him over the years.
Terry, can you? This is Terry King, and Terry, welcome to Christ Together Radio. Can you tell us what the Resource Council is, kind of what its purpose is, how it came about, and what the elevator pitch, the vision for the Resource Council is?
Well, I think welcome and thank you for having us today. And it's humbling that we can share the purpose and the intent and what God is doing in Western New York, specifically Buffalo. But I need to back up for just a moment. You know, Saving Grace Ministries, we exist to work with those coming out of the correctional facilities. And years and years back, as I attended a number of conferences, and I'm involved in a number of task force dealing with homelessness as well as the reentry task force and housing for placement of those coming out of the institutional setting. One of the things that struck me over and over was the number of FBI crime data reports that pointed to specific zip codes and really would identify our future clients in the second, third, fourth grade. Going back a decade or so back, it was we're seeing great success and impact in what we're doing with those adults coming out of the correctional facility, housing, care coordination, and being able to introduce them to discipleship, mentoring, and the needs of life in order for them to make it and become successful. But it was troubling that I saw so many of our young folks who were really voiceless and marginalized, especially in certain zip codes in our area that data was always pointing right back to as our future candidates. And we realized that the Department of Corrections was managing beds based on those performance data of elementary schools. And that was really striking. So when Jerry Gillis called a number of years ago and said, I have a building that I'd like you to look at, I initially, through our growth and some of the expansion that we were going through, I had reservations. I really wasn't looking for another project, but then it was Jerry. As a man of faith, I knew that God had brought him into my life not to just go down empty roads, but for purpose and meaning. And the next morning I got up and I said, you know, Jerry, I'll go over and look at the building. Now, ironically, the Buffalo Sabres Foundation and a gentleman by the name of Cliff Benson and I had been in contact about building another facility for homeless housing for veterans with children. It was a passion that they had wanted to build. Walking through the building, I was on the second floor, I saw families thriving. A once office space, a original Booker T. Washington, first YWCA in the city of Buffalo, funded by the Booker T. Washington Foundation, a building that was destined to be closed, destined to be shuttered, had a vision of children healthy, families with joy and safety. And through the rubble and through all of the problems that were existing at the site, I remember turning to the ownership group of the Sabres in a walkthrough one day saying, you know, this is your building. And leaving thinking I did my job, but only to find out several weeks later that the ownership group approached me and said, we'd like Saving Grace Ministries to take the lead, and we'd like to finance and fund this. And so we began a journey to look at what this use of this building was, with a pool and a gymnasium and potential computer labs and a learning center. And we secured the funding, nearly $3 million, to build out 16 apartments for homeless housing for vets, preference for vets with children, knowing that the first floor could be stabilized and accessible to a new community center. But we also knew that we couldn't do it alone, and that's not the vision of what Saving Grace was called to do. So we prayed, and we formed a new partnership. True Bethel, Darius Pridgen, True Development, Janice McKinney, and her team, along with the Buffalo Sabres, Buffalo Bills, formed a new relationship for the Resource Council of Western New York. And our mission was very simple. It was to reopen the community center, be culturally diverse, share the gospel by being Jesus to those that had no voice. We didn't know exactly what the direction would be, but we knew one thing. We needed to put the community center back in the hands of the people that it deserved to be, the community. We couldn't run it by lording over it. We couldn't run it by demanding. We had to allow the community to have a voice in how it would be shaped. So we journeyed for several years having a number of community meetings. We listened to block clubs. We listened to neighbors. We went door to door and actually heard cries on people's hearts. I remember being in a church service. A grandmother came up to me, and I had preached a Sunday morning message, and she came up with tears in her eyes when she heard about us reopening the complex. And she said to me, "Are you going to allow my granddaughter to swim in the pool?" And I looked at her and I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I live two streets away, and we're not allowed to swim in the pool." My heart was broken. And I said, "Look, not only is your granddaughter going to swim in the pool, you and I are going to swim in the pool. We're going to find a way to make this work." And so as we began, we started to get support from various corporate sponsors. We set up a separate partnership called the Resource Council, separate board of directors. And that leadership is to reengage the community in a setting that reaches and touches the lives of the neighbors. And we've partnered with the elementary school directly behind us. And quickly we're seeing a response to reach the third, fourth, fifth graders, after school programs, and putting together a team, not just a staff, but a team that has a heart of compassion and passion to reach the next generation. And for me, I hope that the Resource Council reaches those third, fourth, and fifth graders so that they never, ever, ever become a client of Grace House. And they graduate high school, go on to college, and become productive members of our society. Look, the book of Isaiah chapter 58 speaks about a new way of fasting, a new way of feeding and reaching and teaching those that are voiceless to see the streets rebuilt and become repairs of broken walls, streets with dwellings. And the Resource Council, this partnership is the fundamental basis of rebuilding a community at its core by its people.
There you go.
That's a pretty holistic view of the Resource
Council.
It is.
You know what struck me, Terry, and maybe Justin and Jerrica, you can jump in here, was that children in third, fourth, fifth grade ages, which I have two boys and they're, or I have three boys, but two of them are kind of within those ages. It strikes me that at that age, it's kind of, they were considered a lost cause already. Kind of like, well, because of the education they're going to receive and the situation, we know that a good portion of these kids are going to choose a life that's going to get them in trouble. And to have somebody, I mean, to me, it seems like a beautiful picture of the church rushing in there to say, no, this is not okay. And maybe we can start with Jerrica, if you wouldn't mind. What do you do with the Resource Council, and what's your role, and how has God worked in your life to call you to work in this area?
Well, thank you for having
sure.
me. And so my story with the Resource Council, it started well before I even knew about the Resource Council. As far back as I can think, I was in undergrad, and we had this exercise. I was a resident assistant, and we put Post-its on our backs. We told what our vision was for our life, and then people put Post-its on our back to encourage us to move forward in that vision. And so I told the group, I want to build communities. And people were just putting encouraging words like, you can do it and go for it. And so going through grad school, coming, God bringing me back to Buffalo, when I heard about the open door at the Resource Council to become program director, I called my friend back in Maryland and I said, girl, I'm a program director at a community center. She says, do you remember when you said you wanted to build communities? And I was floored because I said, wow, God really made good on that passion inside of me, and he drew me back to Buffalo to do just what I desire to do through his inspiration. So I went to graduate school at U of M, University of Michigan, to study social work, and then I worked there for a little bit after graduating, and I was doing work in the community and great work through college prep, taking that into inner city high schools in the Michigan area. But I felt God was calling me for more and calling me home for the community that I grew up in. And so by faith, I moved back. Didn't really have an extensive plan, but I knew that the Lord would provide an open door because I knew I was following him. And what I enjoy most about working at the Resource Council is that I can marry my faith and my passion and my work to produce a great product for the community, which is the best of me, the best of the resources that we have access to, giving them a voice, letting the kids rip and run around the community center. That brings joy to my heart. When we walk into the schools to greet them, they run up to you, Miss Jerrica, Miss Jerrica. And, you know, then they look forward to coming to the center because it's a safe place. It's a fun place. It's a place where they know that they're cared for and that they're loved. And even if we're not, you know, screaming, what must you do to be saved? You need to turn to Jesus. They can feel the love of God through our service to them. And that's what was most important to me. So I'm glad to have that opportunity.
You know what's cool about when God actually calls you into a ministry? I think a lot of times we get a view that God's going to call us to something that's really a labor intensive. I'm going to hate it every day. It's going to be I really wanted to do something fun with my life, but I guess I'll go into ministry. And it's really not the case, is it? I mean, I can just see the joy all over your face. You probably can't wait to get back to those kids even today. So it's really cool that you have such a passion for what those kids are doing. And we just have a couple minutes left in this segment before we have to take a break, but I want to just before we end this talk to Justin for just a minute, and maybe you can tell us quickly what your role is in the Resource Council and what you do on a daily basis.
Thank you. Brett, over the past 2 years, it's been a little bit of a learning experience to find out about the vision for the Resource Council for the building at 347 East Ferry, to understand my role, and that God played a significant role in placing me in circumstances in my life at the right time, in front of the right people, to be able to take on this position as Executive Director of the Resource Council. To be able to start a new project from the ground up to be the one applying for not-for-profit status, writing the letters to the IRS, to board of directors, all of the incorporating documents, all the labor of love to put it all together, to watch the construction, to be there every day seeing the contractors building, rebuilding the structure from the brick, stripping it down, putting in all new electrical, plumbing, heating, everything to make a comfort for the families who live upstairs. And then seeing the vision take off for the first floor, to be able to make partnerships and hire staff and help to create a vision for hope, for inspiration, mm-hmm. and stability within the entire neighborhood, to hear stories from families about what the center used to be. It's inspiring, and every day I get to be a part of that.
We're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to continue on talking about the Resource Council in Western New York and Buffalo and hear a little bit more, Justin, what happens on a daily basis and maybe some of the stories and the lives changed by it. Sometimes we hear about something, but then when we hear of the who, it really kind of takes root in our hearts. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, talking about the Resource Council of Western New York, located in Buffalo, and just the amazing way that they're reaching out to help kids and to help people and help build a community. I love what you said, Jerrica, about it's about building communities and communities that are successful and that have hope. I love that word. It covers so many different aspects of what it means to be a Christ follower. We have hope in Christ, and it's also to give others hope just in their life in general so that they can see the hope in Christ. And so I loved what you said about community in our last segment. Justin, or actually, Ryan, I want to talk to you real
quick.
Sure, yeah. Can I talk to you for a second?
You can talk with me.
Come in my office here. Yeah. It's got to be rewarding, because I think when the Christ Together idea came together a while back, you know, it was kind of churches mm-hmm. and gospel saturation, and it's kind of evolved over this time into mm-hmm. including just so many different aspects of what it means to make a difference in a city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be rewarding just to see things like this take place and develop.
Yes, there is absolutely a rewarding feeling in this. I feel as if, but it's just a start.
Right.
So, for instance, there are many people that are probably listening to even this radio show right now, where when you see the brokenness in a region or you see the brokenness in an urban center, your immediate response is, well, the church needs to. That's what the church is for. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But where I've been learning, where the Lord has been teaching us, is that, yeah, the church is the answer, but the church gathered is the answer, and the church mobilized mm-hmm. is the answer. And so, you know, you have people that are daily following Jesus and compelling others to do the same. Well, it's not necessarily something that you can just shout the gospel at people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's great receptivity to that. Like, people are ready to come to Jesus, and I've had those moments where a marriage is in crisis or a disease has been diagnosed. And
it's typically a moment of crisis.
Great fertility for gospel hope. But at the same time, sometimes what people need is they need a tangible demonstration of real love, someone who's really been transformed by the gospel. These folks here, Jerrica, Justin, Terry, truly transformed by the gospel, meeting tangible daily needs. That ultimately sets a course for, why are you doing this? And it's then that we can talk about the hope of the gospel. And that's why I love putting these sorts of initiatives on display, as well as church plants and church partnerships, because this is all God's body mobilized in different ways, gathered and scattered. And we're talking a little bit about scattered right now throughout the region. And I love that.
I love that it points back to the mission statement of the chapel and what Christ Together is about, for people to hear and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
I think one of the things, if I can add an observation, is over the last decade, we've seen a church, and Saving Grace interacts with many church faith networks throughout the region. Oftentimes we've seen a church that wants to come in with an agenda, an ideology, come in, make a splash, and exit. And I think that we have to be really aware, are we a Christ-surrendered church or a conforming church? And with the Resource Council Saving Grace, we've seen great work and impact when the surrendered spirit comes and loves those without an agenda to convert. We convert through the Spirit of Christ. When Christ, in the book of Romans chapter 8, it speaks to the life of sinful man, and you know the Spirit will lead to peace and joy and guide us. But I think sometimes that chapter really gives us pause to examine, am I ministering to someone, and do I end up appeasing and supporting without challenging them to be the gift and filled with the Spirit? And if the Spirit of God is not in me, then they're not going to see Christ alive in me. Mm-hmm. And my hope and prayer is that everyone that walks through the door of the Resource Council or everyone that engages a staff member feels, sees, and senses Christ alive, so that the Spirit of God will come upon that child, that man, that woman, that neighbor, to know that they are a gift to community, not to be imparted with what I think they should do with their life, but to grow and become all that Christ wants them to be in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great word. You know, one of the things I've realized in doing radio, sometimes I take for granted things I've already seen, I've already walked through. Mm-hmm. And so I realize many of you that are listening, you haven't been to the Resource Council. You haven't been to, what is it, 347 East Ferry, right? So let's create a picture of that. Justin, why don't I turn it over to you? I mean, I've been to this facility, but for people that have never been, if they were to walk in, you know, what is on the second floor? What's on the first floor? What does this look like? And how do you sense that it's transforming the community of the Near East Side of Buffalo?
Thank you, Ryan. sorry, what people would see when they come to the building, which is positioned on East Ferry between Jefferson and Humboldt, in the 14208 zip code, you'd find a 100-year-old YMCA, which was a grand building. Many of the YMCA buildings of that time period were built the same exact model, with a second-floor gymnasium right above the swimming pool, a cork running track, curved bank running track above the gymnasium. You'd find multi-purpose room, you'd find several offices, and you would be in awe of the Italian marble floors, the grand woodwork, the fireplaces, the old radiators, the time and energy it took to build back 100 years ago. It's an amazing building, but to see it through the conversion to apartments upstairs isn't, again, inspiring. To see as you walk upstairs new apartments that were hotel quality, to look and see every unit that has its own heating and cooling, new dishwashers, new hot water tanks, new plumbing, new woodwork, new floors, everything from the ground up, to be able to then know that the families upstairs have access to the community center, our programs and activities on the first floor, sets them up for the ability to engage with us and to have a refuge from the surrounding community and to be safe in our building. I think what most families who know about our building remember is their time as a child. Many grandparents know this place because they came there as members of the Y. They participated in Friday night dances as children, and they have fond memories of their families going and swimming and participating. We know stories of the Sabres and the French Connection holding hockey clinics in the gymnasium, and many NBA basketball players coming and holding clinics as well. So there's really a rich history of what the building has been to the community. And over a series of many, many years, the building had been sold, wasn't being used, and families weren't coming. So to be able to go through the focus groups and the surveys and engage the community, engage block clubs and church leadership and neighbors to find out that they wanted this building back for the community is something we feel strongly about being able to do for them, to be able to bring on new family members, new memberships at no cost, to be able to operate our programs and make it affordable for every family to participate and give them quality, extraordinary programs is just part of our goal.
Justin, one of the things I have a couple questions that maybe anybody can answer, but probably you, it would be best. You said that they can come in with memberships, people from the area can come in with memberships. I assume that's just people locally, or can anybody come to this, or how do they get a membership, or what does that look like?
Yeah, they simply call our number, which is 716-259-9844. We'll send them a packet, or they can just simply stop in. But as long as you're a resident of the city of Buffalo, we've opened that up to all residents. We're, although we're located in the 14208 zip code, and we have several contracts to operate the community center in that zip code, we're not going to restrict community access to only that zip code. We want community within the city of Buffalo to be able to participate.
Tell me some of the real stories of people's reactions to what's happening and their excitement. Their was there any speculation? Were people kind of looking out of one eye, thinking, "What's the catch here?" Or, I mean, did you meet any resistance at all? Or maybe, I don't know if Terry would be best to answer this. Or
yes, there was resistance. There was a question. Will Saving Grace truly hear the heart of the community? Mm-hmm. Or are we another agency, another church group that wants to do some feel-good work and just march into a city and try to impose upon a people group views and moral standards? Or will we listen really to the true needs of community? And that had to work from the very core leadership, from block clubs to neighbors, with a listening ear and a heart. Now, one of the things that we have to do is roll out our programming so that others in community truly understand and know that what we committed to do, we're delivering on, unquestionably and without hesitation. The passion of what we heard is delivered in the services that we're delivering. And I think the team is achieving that. And over the coming months and years, you're going to see some really exciting things taking place. Behind the scenes, we're working on some partnerships for the hockey rink and youth football field and after school, some other after school programming, additional support, computer labs. There are some real exciting things that truly will make this just a signature facility in the city of Buffalo.
Have you begun to see a difference in just children in the community in general, or children in the surrounding areas? Jerrica, maybe you can see. Is there just a different feel, a different hope, maybe?
Yeah, I would say that there's been a lot of great response to the community center being open. I know that after school kids, they really look forward to coming. We have a couple of boys in the community that are knocking down the door to get in for basketball, and they're there constantly. They bring a new friend every time, and that's what we love to see. The word of mouth, it's really powerful, and they just draw more of their buddies in, and we know that the kids are in a safe place where parents can feel comfortable sending their kids to play some basketball or swim for a little while. In even our Learn to Swim classes, a lot of people have come to us and said, well, I don't know how to swim, and my kid doesn't know how to swim. So you have parents and their children coming to learn a great life skill together, and that's really a part of the mission of our building, to create that stability and that hope and that inspiration, because that may have not been the narrative of that family, the togetherness and learning a cool life skill together. So seeing that response, and we have elderly adults that come in and they tell us tons of stories of how they used to play bumper pool in one room and spades tournaments and others and dances, as Justin referred to, and they have fond memories that they want to see continued for their children to build that legacy and continue it with the building. So we love providing that.
I know we might be coming, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. So one of the things, Jerrica, I know I'm just excited, like when someone who grows up in a neighborhood sees something that once was come back to life. For you personally, I mean, do you take great pride and great hope in how God is using this facility, one, to bring himself glory, but two, to tangibly meet needs in the community? What is it? What sort of sense does that give you as someone who kind of grew up in that part of the city?
That makes my heart smile, Ryan. I was born and raised in Buffalo. I'm a product of the East Side, so that's home for me. Mm-hmm. The people on the block, I know them. Mm-hmm. My friend's grandmother lives directly across the street from the center. We sat out on her porch for summers and summers just talking about the neighborhood and its decline and then the hope mm-hmm. that the younger generations have to pull it back up and to make it a place that we can be proud of again. And being able to see my community flourish again and just a glimmer of hope that I know that can spread more and more mm-hmm. is very rewarding, and the privilege to be a part of that work is, it leaves me speechless. I'm grateful yeah. to be a part of it.
That's great. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy, my co-host Brett Larson. In studio with us today as we're on the road is the Resource Council Western New York, Jerrica DeLady. Justin King and Terry King are here in studio with us. And, you know, just a closing comment for this segment. One of the things that I have great hope for in this process is just the advancement of a renaissance in the city of Buffalo mm-hmm. to all parts of the city of Buffalo. It gives me great hope. And just as someone who's connected to the work of the church here in Western New York, it's this type of stuff. And we're going to talk in our closing segment of ways right. that people can get involved.
Yeah.
But it's this type of stuff. If you're a kingdom citizen, might I be able to challenge you to get involved, time, talent, treasure, prayer in the kingdom work that is going on at Patriot Heights on 347 East Ferry, the Resource Council at 347 East Ferry. This is a cool thing that's going on, and my prayer and my hope is that you all would be moved by God's Spirit to jump into this type of work for the saturation of the gospel in this region.
Yeah, we're going to be right back in just a few minutes. Our breaks are quick here at Christ Together, so don't go away. Keep that hand off the dial. Keep it right there, and we want to finish up with ways that you can get involved. I've just enjoyed hearing from you all, and Jerrica, I can just see that by the smile on your face, you love what you're doing, and Terry and Justin, as always, just a passionate heart, and I'm enjoying learning, Ryan, and these, especially you've talked about this, the renaissance of the city, and as we've brought more and more, you know, urban ministries in, I just really enjoy learning about what God is doing in the city. So we want you to learn as well. So stick around. Christ Together Radio. We'll be right back after this.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy hosting as always here today, you know, talking about the Resource Council of Western New York located in Buffalo and just the amazing work that really God has put together. And we were just joking in the break, not joking, actually talking about it. We were joking around, but we were also talking about how this entire thing has happened through volunteerism and donations. And it's just... it's truly a work of God, and you know it is when things like this come together that are God-sized. And I couldn't help think back to my childhood growing up in Buffalo and going down to the Buffalo Christian Center a lot. Mm. And just how, you know, in my childhood it was on its way, the big events and the real usage of the center was declining as I was growing up, but they still had things going on, and we went down there, and it was really sad to see that close down. But God always has His people and His work for a time, and it's amazing to see how ministries like that, who had similar but a little bit different programming, have kind of, you know, gone on to do different things, and how things like this have come up and to do a new and great thing in the city, and so just so thankful that you guys are out there doing this every day, just reaching people. And as people in the suburbs and everybody goes home from their jobs to, you know, their nice life. I mean, we live a good life here in America and in Canada. We really do. We have we kind of get spoiled. But we don't realize that there are pockets in our very own backyards in our communities that don't have it as easy, and the hope isn't there. Yeah. And the fact that you guys follow God's calling to put this together is huge. And we wanted to talk a little bit deep in detail here, just about the different needs that there are, especially at the Resource Council and perhaps at Saving Grace and both, and how they work together. But just what do you guys need? What makes it possible for you to do what you do every day? There are some real practical things that have to happen. And again, we said it's volunteer and donation-based that builds this thing. So maybe, Justin, we can kick it to you, and Terry can jump in as he mentioned some other needs too.
Thanks, Brett. One of the first things that come to mind when we talk about what we need, it's adult presence. And what I mean by that is the more adults that we can have at the center, sitting at a desk, watching the front door, reading a book to a child, helping a child one-on-one with homework over a 20-minute span and after school, being there as a guide to watch over 20 kids playing basketball, to help settle a dispute, to help just make sure that everyone is safe, that the building is open. That, to me, is our greatest need of getting the adult-to-child ratio down to a one-on-one level, if possible. It's not always possible. We would settle for 10-to-1 ratio of children to adult, but the more we can get to one-on-one, the better. So we have opportunities for people to come in that after-school time, come in on a Saturday, to come in the evening several days a week, to just be there with children and families. One other component of something we're trying to do is also extend the learning to the caregivers, to the adults, to the grandparents, to those who watch the children who don't understand the homework that the children are bringing home. We see a need, and parents and caregivers have told us of the need, to help understand Common Core, to help understand the work that they're doing. So we want to tutor the adults too. So we need qualified people to come in and help with that. Beyond the volunteering, I would say sustainable volunteering is important as well. We love, of course, when someone comes in for a day and they give us an hour, but making it consistent and developing rapport and relationships with the families we serve is critical to maintaining that consistent message and building that long-term trust that someone who is in the community knows to expect, and they can expect that to see that love over a long period of time, not just a day.
That's a big thing. It can't be understated. I feel like just in the little bit I know about, and it's nothing like you guys, not even close to urban ministry, is that there has to be a consistency and a longevity and a trust. And I think Terry hit on it earlier, where a church, you know, short-term mission trips comes in and tries to make a big splash, but a lot of times it does more damage than good because they haven't built up that long-term trust, and because there's always a little bit of skepticism, because what do you want from us?
I just want to add, you know, this morning reading in the book of Acts, I'm reminded that we're called to Judea, Samaria, and Jefferson Avenue, although my text that I read may not have included Jefferson, but the point...
It's there in the Greek.
It's included, there in the Greek. You know, we're called.
LXX.
And I think that one of the things from Saving Grace Ministries to the Resource Council is that underscores all of this. It's knitting the hearts and minds of believers with non-believers or those that want to believe in true ministry of Christ, to simply love people and give of our time, talent, and treasure. But the Resource Council has many needs, and they're going to be ongoing needs for the rest of the existence of the Resource Council. Make no mistake, every day there is going to be needs, from toilet paper to dishwashing liquid to swim trunks for kids, to painters, to computers, to tablets, to learning aids, to people that want to love somebody that sometimes is unlovable from our perspectives and our own biases, putting that aside and becoming Jesus to our community. That's what we're called to do. And the success of the Resource Council will be born when we as believers cast aside our idea that, you know what, I'm a Christian on Sunday. No, I'm called to get a little uncomfortable. Maybe I'll make a decision that I am going to go down and volunteer on a Tuesday night. I'm going to give a few hours on Thursday or Saturday, and I'm going to change the direction and trajectory of a child for the rest of their life. And you know what? It's going to change my life, because I'm going to come home from the Resource Council deeply impacted by what I've been able to do with the gift God laid on my life.
Hmm. Jerrica or Justin, how do we do that? If someone's driving along right now, which they probably are, in their car or sitting at home, maybe listening, and they say, you know what, God's kind of moving in my heart. I think I want to jump into what God's doing at the Resource Council. How?
Well, there are many ways that you can get involved with the Resource Council. Give us a call. We are there, and we would love to hear from you. 716-259-9844.
Say it again.
716-259-9844. And we'd love to talk to you, hear your heart for the community, and what you envision doing. And I know some people may be intimidated with, oh, I've never worked with kids or families, and I've never been in that community. We'll talk to you. We're a team, and we don't want volunteers to feel ill-prepared. So we are working with you. We share our needs extensively so that you can have a good idea of what's necessary. And I do want to add, with volunteering, near-peer relationships are really important for the children. So college students, mm-hmm. high school seniors, they love to see that, and that helps create a college-going culture for the kids. When they see your sweatshirt or your hat with your school logo mm-hmm. on it, so college students can get involved, and we've also had families come.
Do you have Michigan sweatshirts?
I wear Michigan
okay,
sweatshirts.
I was just wondering.
But we have parents and children come in together to volunteer, and that is great because you can teach your kid about volunteerism right. in a comfortable way with other kids. So give us a call, and we would love to have a conversation.
Just a question around that. Obviously, we have over 110,000 college students in Western New York. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people know this. I think there's 27 different colleges and universities in this area, which is mind-boggling when you think about it. But have colleges stepped up? Have any colleges or schools within these universities gotten involved? And if not, how can we create some awareness for that?
Yes, we have got developed partnerships with Canisius College. We have students that come in to do service learning hours. They do tutoring. They play with the kids in the gym. And we even have a chess club that the children love. We also have relationships with Buffalo State College. Their students are doing service learning as well, and they do projects. So one group is doing a book drive, and the kids love the books that they bring in, and so creating opportunities to recruit volunteers is another thing that class is doing. And we seek out these opportunities with schools, and we would love if the schools, you know, knock down our doors to send volunteers as well. But we do pursue those relationships, and we've already started some great ones.
Awesome. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to shine a little light on a college that I think is doing really good work in and around your neighborhood, more so towards Saving Grace, but Villa Maria College. I don't know if you know the leadership there. A friend that I have, acquaintance, Ryan Hartnett, is doing some really good work. And a lot of people don't know this. The largest participant in Say Yes per capita in the city of Buffalo is actually Villa Maria College. And so part of their charter for the college is that they stand in bringing dignity to those who have been forgotten. And so I just want to say that I think that from a mobilizing arm, that there might be a really cool partnership that could develop in partnership with Villa Maria College. And their already proven commitment to take City of Buffalo student graduates in through the Say Yes initiative. So I'd encourage you to maybe reach out to them, and maybe offline I can get you some contact information. But I've been really impressed in the work that they're doing, and I think that there could be some good synergy here for the Resource Council and for what Villa Maria is trying to do. So
We're talking about what people can do. Let's talk about practical things, tangible, you know, things that you can put your hands around and put in place of on a desk that people need to work in. I'm saying computers here. But Justin, some real practical needs, like not volunteer needs, things. What do you guys need?
Well, number one is books. We need to develop a much more robust library of children's books for the children that range from early reading books through young adult readers. But one caveat to that is real books. You know, we love real books, the stories, the imagination that can can help create an environment for a child to encourage them to become a lifelong reader, mm-hmm. to get in totally engulfed in a book, to lose their sense of time because they're reading a story. Now, those are critical. We want those opportunities, but we also need the basal readers. We need the leveled readers, the first grade, kindergarten, second grade, all of the beginning reading books that a program aide or a volunteer can help work on, some structure and sentence formation and phonetic awareness. So there are absolutely more needs for books at all books. Levels. We also need furniture. We'd like to create a lounge in one of the rooms that we have to be a study room. Everything from bookshelves to
my grandmother's got tables. This couch with the plastic on it. Is that cool? that's not good. Okay.
No, maybe not.
Maybe not that. That. What maybe we're saying that, is we want nice furniture. There was a joke to say that don't drop off your, you know.
Correct. Yeah. That's absolutely correct.
Again, dignity here.
Yeah. Thank you.
We also have a need for simple things. Swim trunks. Boys and girls.
Yeah.
Age 3 to 12. We need swim towels. We need swim shoes for a locker room. Very simple, practical gifts that can go a long way to change a life.
That's something that, you know, like swim trunks, something that a small group at a church, you can get those at Target. New ones, mm-hmm. please. You can, you know, go to Target and pick up a whole bunch of those and just donate it from your small group at your church.
There's actually a great story about that, and it emphasizes the point. We held our first after-school swimming program a number of weeks ago, and our thought as a staff was, okay, every child is going to come prepared. They're going to bring their swim trunks from home. They're going to bring a towel, maybe a little bit of a blind spot for us. One family didn't come, and we learned later that's because they don't know how to swim, didn't want to swim, didn't have swim clothing. Several children that day came unprepared, and we learned later that they don't have swim trunks. One child showed up with pajama pants to wear as swim trunks. So it became a little bit of a lesson for us. And as we asked around to other facilities, they said, yeah, you need to have extra equipment. You need to have everything prepared. You need to wash them. You need to be ready. And parents need to support that family with other equipment. And beyond the swim trunks themselves, life jackets. As we're learning about health department and bathing code standards about how to operate the pool, it's become abundantly aware that most children need a life preserver in order to go in the pool. And some adults, too, who are trying to learn, they need that comfort and security to know that they're not going to sink.
Well, it's shocking and heartbreaking, you know, that we can talk about the theory of it all day long, but the reality is if kids that showed up that didn't have swim trunks that came up pajama pants. That kind of broke my heart when I heard that. So it's a real need and a great ministry that the Resource Council of Western New York is doing. Thanks for sticking around this week. You guys are going to join us again next week, and we're going to dig a little deeper into. I want to hear more stories like that because I think that it tends to put some teeth to the reality of what you guys are doing and what God is empowering you to do. Over there, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. We've been talking with Terry King, Justin King, and Jerrica Delaney today about the Resource Council, about the facility, and what God is doing through the community center. So if you want to know more about it, Justin, give us the number real quick.
716-259-9844.
716-259-9844. Give them a call. Also, you can check them out online at...
Right now it's www.facebook.com/RCWNY.
There's a Facebook, RCWNY, for Research Council of Western New York. There's a Facebook page. Check them out there. Give them a call. Get involved. Watch God move and watch God change you as you become involved in things like this. For Ryan Cozy, I'm Brett Larson. Thanks for joining us on Christ Together Radio.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.